The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So America, are you getting what you want out of the Yankees and Red Sox? And I ask that because I know many of you do not care about what goes on in baseball in the northeastern part of the United States. I get it, because for years and years and years, Yankees and Red Sox has been jammed down your throat by a lot of powerful sports entities. But in reality, think about this for a second. Unless you're really pulling for that whole money ball, underdog, team we can't name, then, yeah, you lost out on the A's Red Sox. But if you want 200-plus win teams that have a history against each other, that are excellent baseball teams, where one of them is going to go home after a five-game series, and there is tradition, and there is compelling personalities, and there are stars on both sides of this rivalry, then I think you're getting a baseball series that's worth your attention. It's hard, I get it, because the way the media, the national media, makes every Yankees-Red Sox game in June and May the most important thing under the sun. And if you live in Colorado, or you live in Los Angeles, or you live in Seattle, or you live in Oklahoma, or you live wherever, it doesn't resonate. And no matter how hard these national media entities try to jam it down your throat, it just doesn't resonate. But this is going to be a very good series. These are two teams that are very, very loaded. And there's an advantage to the Red Sox because they can pitch. And they can pitch better than the Yankees. But don't underestimate in a five-game series how far hot bats can take you. I don't trust hot bats in a seven-game series. Because I do think, in the end, good pitching in a long seven-game must-win four kind of a week and a half, that's going to wear you down a little bit. But I think in a short series, where if you can snag a game at the other guy's place and take momentum back home, these things are over quick. You know, they're going to play five. If it goes five games, they're going to do five games in about a week. It's a quick series. And with that being said, I think the Yankees, despite the fact that they've been looking up at the Red Sox all year, and they do have some pitching issues that'll make you cringe at times, when their bats get hot, their bats get red hot. We're going to talk more about what the Oakland A's did last night. It was a big gamble by Bob Melvin to do what he did in the pitching, to use the pitching rotation, to say, I'm going to throw out guys, I'm going to play them, pitch them a couple innings, I'm going to use different arms, I'm going to use different series of arms. I'm not going with the traditional starter in this game. Was it a gamble? Yes. Was it the right gamble? You know, look, we have to judge things by their result, right? But sometimes, even if the result isn't good, it can be seen as the right move at the time, right? We do a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking, and that's what we do in sports. But the reality of it is, it's what we, you know, it's what we do in sports. 800-777-2907. Roll along at SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so I don't mind. We do a little bit of Monday morning quarterbacking. I don't mind because that's what we do. Look, you know, coaches and players, they make decisions in games, and then we analyze them, and oftentimes when they fail, we break it down, and we say, this was a dumb decision that should have never been made, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's the case in Oakland's situation. I think there's going to be a lot of scrutiny on Bob Melvin's part to say, hey, listen, look, why didn't you go with a traditional starter in this game? Somebody that could have eaten up some innings, somebody that that could have baffled the Yankees. I wonder if Aaron Judge had gotten that home run off whoever was announced to be the starter, would Bob Melvin been in kind of the same boat, meaning a guy got chased a little earlier than normal and he was going to the bullpen anyway. But, you know, when you ask a number of pitchers, and they were going to use 7, 8 pitchers, maybe possibly 10, when you're asking all of those guys to be on their A game and not one of them is going to be allowed to mess up, screw up, you know, do something that is going to cost you the game. That's a lot to ask. The Yankees got everything they wanted out of Luis Severino in the first 4 innings of that game. He struck out 7. He was electrifying. He was very passionate. He had good stuff. When he got in trouble, that's when Aaron Boone went, Dellin Betances, you come into the game, you know, and when we're going to go into that mode, right? I've got a number of pitchers and I'm going to use them, but I'm going to get as much work out of Luis Severino as I possibly can. Bob Melvin wasn't working that way. Bob Melvin was working on the kind of belief that a pitcher would come in, pitch really well, and then another guy would come in and pitch really well. Another guy would come in and pitch really well, and so on and so on, and you're just asking too much. Eventually, one of those guys isn't going to have it. One of those guys is going to get roughed up, and then you're going to be in a little bit of trouble because you're going to be behind and you're not going to have anybody that's on the mound, you know, that's kind of in that mode of, hey, my stuff is working against this Yankee team, at least for a couple of innings anyway. That's what you're looking for. Severino didn't go through 2 rounds of the order of the Oakland A's. He went 4 innings. Then he got in a little bit of trouble. Then that's when the Yankees started going into their bullpen mode. But when Bob Melvin's going, all right, I'll pitch a guy an inning. Oh, he gave up a home run. Now I'm bringing another guy. Hopefully he'll shut him down. Oh, okay, wait. Yankees scored a couple more runs in the 6th inning. And it, you know, it didn't look like the right move last night. But maybe it was the gamble he had to take in order to win the game. I don't know. I mean, we don't now, you know, we've been having a lot of fun with the fact that we don't know as many Oakland A's as we should. And I still don't know as many Oakland A's as I should, and I watched that game last night. But the Yankees going up against the Red Sox, like I said earlier at the top of the hour, I know it's a hard sell for a lot of people. It is, because it's a Northeast. You get it driven down your throat every single year, but this is a great matchup. Pull all of that aside for a second and take all of that history of, you know, regular season games that feel like, oh, this is the end of the world. This is a really good series. This is a really, really good matchup. It's a rivalry. It's a passionate fan base on both sides. And they haven't met. The Yankees and the Red Sox have not met in the postseason since 2004. And we all know what happened then. When the Red Sox trailed 3-0, Dave Roberts steals second base. And for however, whatever happened after that, the Red Sox got new life and won 4 straight in the series, when they looked like they were going to get swept. And then they went on to win the World Series. Bloody sock, Johnny Damon's grand slam. I mean, you list the list of things of Red Sox lore in that series. But this is going to be a really good one. I mean, this is not to shortchange any of the other series that we've got, because I think Astros-Indians is worth a lot of your attention. And I think that the Dodgers and you know, Braves series could be really good. And I think the Rockies and Milwaukee could be really fun when that shifts to Coors Field. But as far as baseball history, in terms of baseball, what these two franchises have given Major League Baseball, what these two franchise fan bases, as obnoxious as they are and as crazy as they are, it's going to be fun to watch it. I think it's going to be really fun. And I think you're going to see the two stadiums going in just lunatic mode against one another. And I think it's going to be great. I don't want to shortchange the A's, but that's not the series I think most of us would really want it. You can only take that whole Moneyball angle so far. And the A's, let's be honest, the A's aren't really an underdog. They come to the playoffs all the time. They just don't go very far in the postseason, but they go to the playoffs a lot. I mean, they went in 2000. They go to the postseason, they disappear for a couple of years, and they come back. And that's what they do, right? That's what Billy Beane does. He'll have these great players, and then they turn into stars, and then he gets rid of them, and he finds other players, and then they disappear, and then they rise back up again, and they make the postseason. It's not like the A's entered this playoffs. We haven't been here since 1988. That's not the case with the Oakland A's. It's just that you don't know who they are. You know, outside of Chris Davis and maybe a couple of guys, you don't know who they are. And that's the beautiful nature of what A's baseball is all about. That wasn't even a fun game last night. That was just like an exhibition for the. I mean, the Yankees were on fire. I mean, they just had everything clicking for them last night, and A's didn't have anything.
The game itself was actually boring.
Yeah, it was boring.
I mean, it was it went through.
Even when it was 2-0, I didn't feel like it was a close game.
Yeah. I felt like it's, right after that first inning, you just had that feeling like, yeah, let's just get through it. Yankees are going to win.
Yeah.
Let's just move on. Just move on to the next one. It's a done deal.
That scrappiness of the A's got them into something in the fifth inning with they had bases loaded and Batanzas just came in and was able to kind of get the outs. Then he kind of calmed that down a little bit. They didn't get any runs until Davis hit a home run, but by that time the Yankees were up by a ton. And then they got Giancarlo Stanton hitting a solo shot. The fans started chanting, "We want Boston," relatively early. I think sixth or seventh inning is when they started that chant. Maybe seventh inning is when they started that chant. And it was just a feeling in New York last night that this was we got to handle this real quick, and then we're going to move on to face the Red Sox.
No, and you asked the question before, to America, is this what you wanted? And whether you wanted it or not, you knew it was inevitable. And this is exactly what Major League Baseball wanted.
Yeah, but let's go back. I mean, the A's weren't a pick a name out of a hat team that the Yankees got to play last night. They were a 97 win team.
They're not a walkover team.
If they had gotten on base early, or if Severino didn't have sharp stuff, and Severino is not a guarantee that he would have had sharp stuff, they could have put some pressure on the Yankee bats. If they had a starting pitcher that was confusing enough early in that game, they could have confused the Yankee bats. It's just that Aaron Judge hitting a home run, it changes the dynamic of that team. They get very, very, it bleeds over. I mean, it's one of those teams, when the bats are hot, everybody's bats hot. When the bats are cold, everybody's bats cold. That kind of team. So it wasn't, it wasn't as inevitable, or in the beginning of the game. It's just when Aaron Judge hit the home run, I felt like, okay, I don't think the Yankees are going to lose now, and that came in the first inning. So I think if you're Major League Baseball, Yankees Red Sox is exactly what you want, right? But to be honest, that's not their fault. They want big markets in the postseason. I mean, they're loving the fact that they've got LA in the postseason. They're loving the fact that they're getting the New York market in the postseason and the Boston market in the postseason.
And Atlanta
Atlanta.
Because you got the whole southern market.
And unfortunately, Oakland, I don't know how much Oakland is a Bay Area thing, how much it transcends into San Francisco. I don't know if Giants fans care that the A's are in it, if they're not in it, that kind of thing. I don't know much about that area. Maybe, because San Francisco is a pretty large market, but I don't know if Oakland it's 50% of that, or
Bay Area is just going to turn off the baseball's over for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think they're going to watch the Dodgers?
Oh no, not at all, not at all.
Unless they're not losing, then they'll watch.
I think you're creating your. I don't know. I mean, if I'm Major League Baseball, I like what I've got. I really, really like what I got. I got an American League that's got all my good teams are in it. All the teams that you know, played well, obviously division winners, but I got the Yankees were a 100+ win team and now they're still in. They didn't get out of the, they didn't get out of the wild card business. So I'm thrilled. I got some, they got some good matchups here. Now the Cubs not being in it probably ticks them off. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're not too thrilled about the Rockies.
Yeah, but on that note, you have a scrappy Milwaukee team going up against a scrappy Colorado team that most of America doesn't even know about.
They won't at the end of the season.
No, they won't
at the end of the playoffs.
But it should be, that should actually be an exciting series.
I think it's going to be a great series. I really like that series.
I mean, Milwaukee's made up of all the stars, all-star players across the country.
Yeah, and Christian Yelich.
Shopping.
And here's the cool thing about Christian Yelich. Christian Yelich is probably the most unwatched MVP candidate we've ever had.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, because even you know, in Miami, people didn't watch him when he played for the Marlins, and people didn't watch him when he played for Milwaukee, right?
In fact, he's so unwatched, I could see him not winning it.
Yeah, that's true.
Just because, I mean, he's the most deserving candidate by far.
Yeah, he flirted with the Triple Crown.
But you can almost see him not winning it just because people don't know who he is.
Yeah, and that's tough. Like other MVP candidates, you know, you get on
Mookie
like
Betts.
like for example, Mookie Betts. He plays for the Red Sox. He may not win it one year, but he's playing for the Red Sox, right? I think Alex Bregman is going to win the MVP at some point. He's going to be on an Astros World Series championship, another run in the playoffs. One year he'll win the MVP, and you'll say, "Oh, okay, I remember that guy. I watched that guy play in the World Series. I watched that guy play in the postseason," right? Christian Yelich is going to win the MVP, and people are like, "Yeah, Miami. When was the last time the Marlins made a postseason run?" But when they won the World Series in 2003, like I know they were good a couple of years ago, but I don't know if they made the playoffs when they had Jose Fernandez, the late Jose Fernandez. But that's about it. You know, the Marlins were a team nobody was going to their games in Miami, let alone watching them on a national stage.
Well, they got that weird looking thing in the field.
Yeah, they got that little fun statue.
Little slide or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to see that.
Celebration statue. So, you know, and he goes to Milwaukee, which is, again, is not a huge market. You're not getting a lot of national attention. And he puts up crazily good numbers in the National League. I think the Rockies and Brewers is I think it's going to be fun. I think you're going to see a lot of home runs. I think you're going to see a lot of comebacks. I think you're going to see a lot of rallies in that. I don't care which team. I mean, I'm making a prediction that the Rockies end up winning that series, but I think you're going to, like, if you're up 7-2, be careful, because both of these teams will just quick strike and get a couple of home runs on the board and come right back into these games. I think it's going to be great. Here's not the cool thing, I shouldn't say. The thing about the Red Sox-Yankees, people are salivating over this series, but the Red Sox can win this thing at 3. I mean, the Yankees could hold them off, but the Red Sox have that much pitching power and batting power. They could make quick work of the Yankees, and all this will be for naught. I just don't see it in the Rockies Brewers. I do not see a quick series. I see that thing going 5. It's going to be tough. I think it's going to be, you know, going down to the wire. Much respect to both teams, that kind of series. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. If you want to join us, talk some baseball as the Yankees advance in the AL to the ALDS, winning over the Oakland A's last night in the wild card matchup. We got some NFL games to talk about, including tonight the New England Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts. Oh, we got a lot. Plus, the NBA GM survey is out, one of my favorite times of the year, when we get anonymous GMs making and voting on various topics on the NBA before it kicks off the regular season. That's all coming up. It's SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we'll get back to baseball coming up as the AL and NLDSs are all set, the divisional series. We'll talk more about those matchups coming up. I want to get to my boy Nick Saban, because, man, I love me some Saban. I had a news conference Wednesday, and grouchy old Nick Saban had a lot to say about students not showing up for his football games, where he drubs cupcake opponents by a score of 56-14. He said, quote, I can honestly say I was a little disappointed there weren't more students in the last game. And by the way, I'm reading this with more enthusiasm than Saban actually said. I think they're trying to address that. I don't think they're entitled to anything either. Me personally, I think it ought to be first come, first serve. If they don't want to come to the game, they don't have to come. But I'm sure there are enough people around here that would like to go to the games, and we'd like for them to come too because they support the players. Oh, nothing like stabbing up at the student body. I'm sure what he's referencing is if you go to Alabama, you get tickets and you don't use them. And he's basically like, if you're not going to use them, that's fine. But instead of not using them, can we just give them to people who want to come to the game and cheer on the Crimson Tide? Because your stupid butts aren't in the seats cheering our players like you should be doing on Saturday. Wah, wah, wah. Listen, you scheduled Louisiana Lafayette. All right, who desperately wants to go by Louisiana instead of Louisiana Lafayette, even though they're in Lafayette and apparently aren't proud of the fact that they're in Lafayette. And by the way, they're the Raging Cajuns, which is a really cool nickname. But you know what? They're not a good football team to compete with Alabama. So if you're a student and you go to Alabama games on a regular basis when they're playing like, oh, I don't know, Mississippi State or LSU or Auburn or wherever the other teams in the SEC are, and you want to skip out on going to see them throttle Louisiana Lafayette, I don't see any problem with that. After all, your time is valuable too, and crazy old Nick Saban shouldn't be telling you how to spend your Saturday just because he wants his kids to get respect. They're football players beating up on a small school, which is fun for a bit, but then after a while, you got things to do. You're a college student. What are you supposed to do? Cheer crazily for another touchdown when you're up 56 to nothing? I mean, how do you drum up that kind of enthusiasm? You ever go to a game where there's a blowout and there's always that one fan that yells at the referee and you're like, dude, calm down. You're up by 14 touchdowns. Relax. There's nothing worse. I've covered all these football games where the score is like 56 to 3 and you're sitting in the stands and the game is out of hand and you're bored. And all of a sudden the guy next to you is like, that's a hold, ref. That's a hold. And you're like, how are you that into this at this point? We've been doing this for 4 hours. The home team has been running up and down the field. How are you still that attentive to this game that you noticed a holding penalty that wasn't called? Are you insane? Is that what Nick Saban is complaining about? I love Nick Saban. Don't get me wrong. I think he's brilliant, and he's changed the dynamics of the SEC, much like Steve Spurrier did back in his day. He brought a different level of play to the SEC where all these schools are going to have to play catch up. Because he's doing it with recruiting, he's doing it with style, he's doing it with substance. He'll beat you throwing the football, he'll beat you running the football, he'll beat you with defense that is suffocating. He'll just plain old beat you. And I love him for it. But I feel like Nick Saban is at that age where he's just complaining about everything. Stop complaining. Can't you just enjoy it? You're in the twilight of your life. Can't you just enjoy the fact that you're winning national championship games by leaps and bounds? And you know what? Every year you're trying to win another national championship. But when you get up on that podium and you complain about the media and you complain about the student athletes, or you complain about the fans, or you complain about some other rule in the SEC you don't like, or whatever it is, it's just, nauseating. After a while, I don't want to hear it.
And I don't really care about that.
I know.
The conversation.
I know, Nick. I know. You're Nick Saban and I'm not. Who am I to tell you what to do?
It really doesn't matter what you think.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't want to go down that road with you, Nick, but I just, have a Werther's Original or some Bitto Honey and just chill out with an RC Cola. Maybe you should sit down and watch some good old Mayberry RFD. I don't know. Just chill out.
You better make it a good one now because I'm about half fired up here.
Half fired up. How about full fired up? Can't wait till Nick Saban's at the nursing home and he's complaining about the pudding, complaining about bingo. I had 065 on the last card. You didn't call 065 when I had it on the last card. If I had it on the last card, I would have got a bingo, but I don't have a bingo. Instead, I got to wait for N23. You ain't calling that. No. Back when I had an 065, you called that, but when I don't have it, That's Nick Saban for you. It's going to be fun. Going to play Arkansas. He's going to beat the heck out of them in Fayetteville. Then he's going to come home and play Missouri, and then they'll be up by four touchdowns, and fans will leave, and they'll complain about it again. And then when they win the national championship, you watch this. He'll win the national championship, and he'll say, like, well, this goes to half of the student body because the other half decided to stay home and not come and watch our kids play earlier in the season. He'll feel like this is a snub. Hey, do we have any clips of Ed Orgeron today? Because he's gearing up for the game against Florida. I don't even care what it is. I just want to hear Ed Orgeron talk. I just want to hear that Cajun coach from LSU say something, anything, in his wonderful, wonderful accent. I love it. Ed Orgeron, one of my favorite coaches in college football. Love Ed Orgeron. Oh, he's the best. Just that. Oh, man. It makes me want to get a Pobo sandwich and maybe some jambalaya. Can I do that? Is it too early for jambalaya?
I don't think so. I don't think it's ever too early.
I don't think it's ever too early for jambalaya. Or dirty rice. You ever have good dirty rice?
My favorite is andouille sausage.
Oh, I know. Andouille sausage
and rice
is great.
And beans. The way it's done Cajun style.
Oh, my God. Makes me hungry.
I can go to town on that every day.
Oh, that's going to be great. LSU going to Gainesville this weekend to take on the Florida Gators.
Oh, come on. It'll be on the Tiger running football. I don't need on.
I love it. I love Ed Orgeron. Nick Saban. You'll always be my man, Nick Saban, but slow down a little bit, man. Slow down. All right, 800-777-2907. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. You can also hit Ron Culver up as well at Ron Culver, and that's Ron with two N's. Don't forget the double N in Ron Culver on Twitter. Let us know what you think on the Major League Baseball postseason. October is here, SB Nation AM.
Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, with football season here, get into the game with BetDSI.com. We're going to do our BetDSI picks. We got to do that later today because you're going to be off tomorrow, right?
Yep, I'm ditching you tomorrow.
All right, we should take a look at our Week 5 selections for our BetDSI contest that we run. Hey, you get to pick five games against the spread.
This time, though, remember to hit save. You got to save your picks.
You got to save your picks. I don't think I did because I think I saw my screen blank, and I don't think I got credit for my picks because I might not have done it right. So you got to hit save when you make the picks. You can play in our game. Just join the leaderboard every week. Just pick five games against the spread. See how you do against me, Patrick Creighton, Ron Culver, Alex Gold, Matt Harrop, number of the hosts on this network, Brian Barrett.
You'll
probably do really well.
Really,
really well. So, you can check it out. It's a lot of fun. BetDSI.com and use the promo code when you sign up, win125. Make your first deposit. You'll get 125% bonus. That is 125% bonus. That is outstanding. Use the promo code win125 because that $100 will then make it $225. $500 will go to $1,125. Again, 125% bonus if you use the promo code win125. On your first deposit. Don't leave money on the table because if you use this, you're going to get that bonus, and that's what you want. And BetDSI.com has every wager you can imagine. If it's happening in baseball, if it's happening in football, NBA starting right up, UFC, esports, global sports, oh gosh, even politics and celebrities. If you can bet on it, they've got it for you. And also, too, you can bet on games while they're playing with BetDSI's live betting if you want to go in that action with some of that action. So join the winning team. Sign on now at BetDSI.com. Use the promo code WIN125 to get that 125% bonus. Also, if you're on BetDSI.com's page and you're looking up, you can check the money games and play with us. Again, pick five games against the spread. We'll do that later on in the show today at BetDSI.com. It's a lot of fun. I'm not good at it. I mean, but I'm hoping I'm going to get better. Hopefully I'll figure it out. I was watching TV the other day, and do you see Domino's runs this commercial where they say, oh, potholes makes for bad pizza. Yep. And let us know, and we'll. And I started, so I just, I've been casually watching those commercials, not thinking about it. And then what, for whatever reason, yesterday or the other day, I forget where it was, it hit me. Are they really in the road paving business? Like, have they really gone out there and bought paving equipment, hired a crew, got materials, and are going out there filling potholes in cities? Have they worked around the local union? Have they worked around with the city hall to get that kind of work away from government employees? Can you just do that on your own? If you're a company, can you just fix a pothole on a road, a city road, for without telling anybody?
I don't think so. I think you have to get proper paperwork.
So they're doing that.
I mean, remember Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters just went and dug a hole in the middle of Fifth Avenue or something like that.
They didn't care. They didn't care.
And they even said that. There were so many potholes, we didn't think one more would mind.
So I'm watching this going, wow, are they really doing it? I mean, it's an ad for it. It doesn't seem to be a joke. Sure enough, I looked it up. They are. They are.
Like, they got a road
in a
crew?
Number of cities. Not really. What they've done is they're basically hiring it out, but using their own money, hiring out crews to go out there and fix potholes that people are telling them, hey, on my way home, there's this big one right outside my house, and whenever I pick up a pizza, it gets destroyed when I hit this pothole, and they're going out there and hiring crews to go fix it. It may not be them. I know. Good for them.
Well, you know, at least they're doing that, because their other ad that they've been running constantly does not promote safety whatsoever.
Which is?
The guy running around with gigantic scissors.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that. You can't run with scissors, and these, gigantic or otherwise.
I mean, these scissors are the size of him.
Yeah, no. You can't do that.
He's just running around, just cutting red tape to let you know that Domino's will deliver here. I mean, Bigfoot comes out and orders a pizza. They don't even care. They're just like, oh, here you go. Here's your sausage and pepperoni.
Because my first thought when I saw these ads about they're just paving roads, I'm like, have you ever gone to any town in America and have been like, hey, could you do me a favor? I'll do it on my own. Can you put like a sign or something on the street? It's paperwork and years of government red tape before you get anything done. And then when you do something on your own, they're like, no, that's a violation of every single code that we have. Like, when you do road work, that's not a company that just goes, oh, we'll pave your road. That is got to be contracted out. That's usually union employees. They usually work. There's a lot of things that go involved in it. Imagine if Domino's was driving around filling potholes on their own using, like, their own drivers. How much those guys who actually do that for a living would be livid if Domino's was like, yeah, we'll fill potholes. Don't worry about it. How hard could it be? We'll just throw some asphalt down and lock it up. Those guys get paid like $30 an hour to do that. Are you kidding me?
I don't know, whatever they
get, you know, you're going to let just Domino's go in there and fix potholes at a city block. Are you kidding me?
And you know what else Domino's is doing too? Let's toot Domino's horn a little bit more here. They have the carryout insurance. Have you seen that?
No, that's where your pizza gets all messed up. You can just go back and get another one.
Yeah, as long as it's carryout delivery, you're on your own.
That's true. Delivery, forget it. If they do it, you're on your own.
Yeah.
So delivery, if it comes to you bad,
well, I guess it's on the guy. You know,
it's on the driver.
He better not deliver to you.
If you're driving home and you're like talking on your cell phone and you bump your pizza.
And you hit one of those potholes.
Yeah. They'll go, all right, we'll replace the pizza.
And fix the pothole.
All right. That's pretty good.
And you won't even have to run with scissors through a park.
Not bad. That's very true. Good point.
I got to say, Domino's has definitely stepped up their game. I don't know if you've had it recently. I actually did a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, you know what? This isn't that bad. I remember it being
very good,
close to cardboard.
Yeah, back in the Noid days, Noid days.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
But now, like recently, we were stuck and said, you know, let's just get that. And I was like, you know what? This isn't that bad.
I took the family
out
for,
but it's.
I took the family out for to this local pizzeria last night, and we had pizza. You know, we had the pizza come to the table, and it's on one of those, you know. They put the little tray that hovers above. And my son went to grab a slice, like, immediately. And I've always told my kids, when a pizza comes to the table, you got to chill out for a second. I know it's tempting, but you got to let the pizza cool.
Yeah, it's like
give
meat.
It a minute or so. Yeah,
like
let
steak.
It rest.
You got to let it rest.
Let it rest for a little bit. Sure enough, he doesn't do that. He picks it up. There's cheese and boiling sauce pouring off of the slice onto his hand, onto his arm. And they never learn. They never learn. I've done this for years. He's going to be 17. And it's like this is part – something in his brain isn't registering this every time pizza comes to the table. Just like as soon as it comes, like, oh, me. Yeah, I'm going to grab – and burn. Just – you got to let it chill. It's like – you're right. It's like a steak. Let a steak rest for a minute. You got to let meat rest when you cook it. You young people out there learning to grill, buying your first grill, trust me on this. Let your steak rest. If your dad hasn't taught you this, I'm teaching you this. Let your steak rest. Got to get those boiling juices back down a little bit. Let it calm down in the meat. Makes the meat flavorful and absolutely delicious. Never cut into a steak as soon as you take it off the grill. Never get a slice of pizza as soon as it comes to the table. This is common sense, right? 101. Am I not wrong?
No, you always got to let it rest. I mean, even if you have a delivered pizza.
Yeah, you got to let it chill.
Even if you do it at home, just let it sit in the box just for a half a second.
Even if you're starving, let pizza relax for a bit. It'll be worth it. When you let that cheese sort of settle and get a little bit more tough, and it's not like a stringy pile of goo, let that settle into the pizza, got a good pie. By the way, my wife and I were talking about this not too long ago. She doesn't like reheated pizza, which is good for me because when we have leftover pizza, she never gets it the next day. She won't reheat pizza. But I was asking her, I said, what is it about reheated pizza you don't like? She goes, well, I don't like putting it in the microwave. I go, you don't have to put it in the microwave. You could set a pan, put a little oil on it, put the pie slice in the pan, cook it on the stovetop, put a cover on it to melt the cheese. And it's like it's coming right out of the oven. She didn't believe me. I said, that's the way you can reheat it. It'll be just like, I know when you put it in the microwave, it can get all rubbery and stuff like that. I eat it cold, so I don't have no problems with leftover pizza.
Cold,
I just eat it cold.
Cold pizza's
cold
awesome.
Pizza's the best. It's the best.
Especially when you had it the night before and it came with other beverages from the night
very
before.
Very true.
You just wake up, especially on a Saturday, college football Saturday. Come on.
And when we used to get pizza in New Jersey, like she would want to, oh, take this downstairs to the refrigerator. I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. Leave it in the box overnight. Don't put it in the refrigerator. It's better. It's going to be warm. It's already cooked. It's not going bad. Let it sit. Let's sit overnight and eat it.
She might be afraid of the bugs in the house.
I know. Well, put the cover. Make sure it stays in the box. Close the box. Make it tight.
I'll usually just pop it back in the oven. Yeah. Not turn the oven on. Just keep it in the box.
No. Just keep it in the oven. Absolutely. Keep it in the oven. But don't put it in the refrigerator. No. It's good. It's just good when it's warm. Just warm pizza. I know for some of you that sounds crazy and sacrilegious, but trust me, that's the best way to go. Now I want pizza. This has been a whole food morning, has it not? I just did this whole Cajun jambalaya thing with that Orgeron, and now I'm on this pizza kick. I must be starving. I don't know. I got to slow down. I could be eating pretty soon. I might be snacking on the radio show later on today. 800-777-2907. I do want to get to some, so we're going to do our Bet DSI picks. I want to get to this NBA GM survey. This is fun. Every year this comes out, anonymous GMs make their picks. We're going to do that coming up soon, because there's a lot of interesting, when GMs are anonymous, they tell you how they really feel about stuff. They don't do the politically correct answer that you can get if you're doing a public question and answer session with a GM. Behind the scenes, they can tell you who they like, who they don't like, who they hate. You know, they give you the real answers. And there have been some interesting ones in the GM survey that's come out before the season. It is SB Nation AM with Tony D and Ron Culver.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so if we're going to grade the AL and NLDS series, right, which is the series that you think, Ron, is going to go the fastest, be done the quickest? Dodgers-Braves? Astros-Indians? Yankees-Red Sox? Rockies-Brewers? I'm kind of leaning towards Rockies, the Dodgers, Braves. I think the Dodgers can handle the Braves quickly.
Yeah, because I honestly feel the Braves overachieved this year.
Me too.
You know, it's a young squad.
I was waiting for that ship to collapse quick.
Oh, back in like April, May.
Yeah, right.
We got up to a hot start. I was like, it's not going to last long.
Oh.
No,
I still don't know how they did it, to be honest with you.
Because the other series, I could see all three of those other series going five games.
I can, too. The Yankees better be careful, though, because the Yankees, the Red Sox will just come at you in waves.
Man, yeah, maybe that one might be a close second of going quick, just because, you know, what the Red Sox have been able to do this year.
Yeah, and it's one of those series where, like, if it goes three games and people go, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, stop it. The Red Sox are that good. They can sweep the Yankees.
Yes.
The Red Sox can sweep the Yankees.
They have.
I mean,
a couple of times already. Don't
go down the road like, should the series be competitive and the Yankees win a couple of games? Absolutely. But listen, this is a five game series. All right. You win both of your games at home. You go to Yankee Stadium and squeak one out. You've swept. And it doesn't matter you've swept. And to be honest with you, the Yankees got the Red Sox got the pitching to do this. They got the pitching to make this happen. And that's scary. And they got the hitting to take your lights out, man. They're like whales at a casino. They can make it quick. That's the whole thing about this Red Sox team that's so dangerous. They can make it fast.
Yeah, and the first two are at home, right?
Yeah, first two at Fenway Park.
That'll tell you right there.
You better make sure your bats are hitting. You better not be swinging at every bad pitch you see. You better be able to time it out.
Honestly, Astros, Indians, I think it's definitely going five.
I do too. I love that. I love that idea that people are underestimating, I think, the Indians because they've been rather quiet, but that could be a really fun series.
And then
that could be really good.
Brewers, Rockies. I mean, that has potential of going quickly or going, you know, taking a long time. But you saw what the Rockies did. I mean, they held their opponents to just one run each time. I mean, even when they played against the Dodgers, it was a low scoring game.
And they're doing a very good job. I mean, the Rockies are doing a very good job in terms of how they've managed this last couple of events, the Sunday in Colorado, the Monday in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. the Tuesday in Chicago. And now they're going to be today. They're going to be in.
At least they got a day off.
They got a day off to chill out. They got to enjoy the sights and sounds of Milwaukee.
And it's a short flight from Chicago to Milwaukee. So, you know, almost like 2 days off.
Maybe they'll visit the Laverne and Shirley Museum or the Happy Days Museum, whatever they have there for those TV shows. Maybe they took a little tour of a brewery or something like that.
Speaking of which, how did Mork ever ended up in Colorado if he came to Milwaukee first?
That's a very good point. That's a really good question. That's a really, really good question.
I mean, it's all of a sudden he was just in Colorado. And you're like, hey, we're just in Milwaukee. I mean, I know you're an alien.
I was watching a TV show, and you know how Mork got on Happy Days to begin with? It was because of Star Wars. Gary Marshall, who created the show, he was telling a story about how his son went to go see Star Wars. And his son said to his dad, his dad said, how come you don't watch Happy Days anymore? And he goes, Dad, I like spacemen. And he's like, all right. So I went to the writers and I told them we needed a spaceman. And they just found Robin Williams, who was doing comedy, and they thought he was hilarious. And they brought him on board and let him ad lib stuff. And a star was born.
That was a good choice.
It was a good choice. He was very good. Yeah. And then he ended up in Boulder.
Boulder.
Hanging out at Folsom Field with Pam Dauber. The Colorado Buffaloes. Chilling out with those New York people that own the deli. Remember that show? It was great. Hey, we'll talk about the NBA GM survey. A lot of interesting things on that. Plus a little more from the. We'll get some NFL as the Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts play tonight. And the other games in week 5 already.